Well, in our continuing studies in the Gospel of John, we are at John chapter 12 and verse 37. John 12, verse 37. Let us now give attention, undivided attention, to this reading from God's holy word. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason they could not believe, because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, "He has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved glory from men more than glory from God. Then Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me and he sees the one who sent me, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my word but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn them at the last day. For I do not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. For whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." May God bless to us this reading of his word. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that you are light in the midst of darkness. For we are in the midst of darkness, yet we have believed in Jesus as the light. Therefore, we are no longer in darkness, but in the light. Show us, Lord, show us your ways. Show us your glory. Show us your light. That then we may with confidence walk in that light, as he is in that light, and know that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. For we ask in his name, amen. Well, you enjoying the inversion? Last Sunday we were in sunshine, and we were told we're going to have at least a week more of that sunshine because there was a high pressure sitting over us. Yeah, and then what happened? The clouds came in and the high pressure kept them there in the valley. Huh? You can go up in the mountains and see sunshine, but not around here. You like darkness, or do you prefer the light? Well, that's the question, isn't it? You know, there's some people who prefer the light. They have a problem of being in the dark. It bothers them. There are other people who like to stay inside, not in the sun. I'm one of those. If I'm on the beach, I'm fully clothed. Long pants, long sleeve shirt, hat. because I'm allergic to the sun. Now that doesn't mean that I don't like light. That doesn't mean I don't like that sun to shine out there. But that's the situation that I'm in. Well, you know, we had that contrast of light and darkness back in Jesus' day. And Jesus says that He is the light of the world. That just as God is light and there's no darkness in Him, so He is, as God, the light of the world. And this morning we're going to see how the people responded to that light. And you basically have three responses. You have those who reject the light. You have those who believe in the light but won't confess it. And then you have those who believe in the light and confess it openly. Well, you have to go back to chapter 1 of John to get the full import of what is being said here. Jesus at the very beginning, of course, says, in the words of John, that He is the Word. The Word was with God, distinct from God, and yet the Word was God. He was God. Thus, the Trinity. He, the second person of the Trinity, and is also of the being of the Trinity. He was with God in the beginning, and He created everything. Then it says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. That life was the light of men. You see, when man was created, he was created by God. God is the only one who has life. The only one who has life that is forever, with no beginning and no ending. Our life is a created life. We were created in the image of God. And therefore, when we were created light and not darkness. In verse 9, he emphasizes that again. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Every man receives life because every man is created in the image of God. But that light is darkened when man sins. And this world is a world of sin and is therefore darkness. And man is sinful and therefore himself is darkness. And so this first chapter also says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness doesn't get it. You see, the darkness rejects the light. And that's what we're being told here. Nevertheless, we are told in verse 14, the Word became flesh, the Word being Jesus, of course, and He became flesh through the Virgin Mary and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen His glory. Then again, they have seen the light in Jesus, who is the light of the world, who has come into the darkness to shine and to show us His ways. The glory in the Old Testament, you remember, the glory cloud was there. The glory cloud, which was God's light. It was the light that took them out of Egypt, that brought them through the Red Sea, the light that made covenant with them at Mount Sinai, the light that took care of them in the wilderness as they traveled place to place, following the glory cloud. As it went up, they would move out, and as it came down, they would then stop where it stopped. You see, the glory cloud, the light of God. Yes. And that glory continued with them in the promised land. That glory was there over the tabernacle. And then when the temple was built, it was there over the temple. But when the temple was destroyed, the glory cloud was no longer visible to the people. Yes. And there was no glory cloud available. It was gone. They did not see it. Oh, God was with them, but the presence of God in a special way was not there. God did not talk to them anymore. God was for 400 years silent. And not until Jesus Christ arise. As Jesus Christ was born, the shepherds, the glory descended again upon the earth. There the shepherds saw it. And there it was to stay in Jesus. We beheld his glory. Well, how did he show that glory? Of course, he showed it in his person, in his conduct. He showed it especially in his word. When he gave his word to his people, there again, the truth of what was there. He is the real or the true light, and it's shown. But also we're told in chapter 2, verse 11, this was the first of Jesus' signs. That's when he made water into wine at Cana. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. That's what it says. His glory is seen in all of those signs that he did. You remember the signs, right? How he made food out of a little kid's lunch, enough to feed 5,000. The sign that he healed a man who had been for 38 years crippled. Another sign when he had taken the blind man and given him sight. He'd been blind since he was born. And the greatest sign of all, he'd raised Lazarus from the dead. There were a host of people there. They saw that stone rolled away. They saw that decayed and stinking body of Lazarus there. And then when Jesus said, "Arise," they saw him alive, whole, and living again. Yes, all these signs were there. All the signs were there. Well, how did people respond? Well, the people came and saw Lazarus. Some of them believed and they committed themselves to Jesus. But some of them didn't. They didn't even go there to see him. Well, Jesus says, just before the passage we're considering this morning, he says this in verses 35 and 36. Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, because darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." And after he said that, he disappeared. And of course, shortly after, he was crucified, raised, and ascended in high. Only a little while are you going to have the light. And then it's going to be gone. Walk while you have the light. This great admonition, you see, that he's giving to these people. Well, how did they respond to that admonition? Well, John records in verse 37, even after Jesus had done all these signs in their presence, they still would not believe him. Believe in him. Yeah. Isn't that the way it is for most people? They have seen the glory of God. And yet, what have they done? Not believed in Him. And do you realize that that's the way it's going to be for most of the people around you? They're going to think you're some kind of lunatic. They're going to think that you just don't know what you're doing. You don't understand life. But they are the ones who have the light in them, but suppress the knowledge of God, suppress that light. They know. They really do know. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to convince them. You merely have to speak to them of what you know from Scripture and what you know about real life, where real light is. Why is that? Why don't they believe? The evidence is so obvious. Well, Jesus tells us, this is to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And then another quote from Isaiah, He has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts so that they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn, and I would heal them. God has hardened their hearts. That's why they don't believe. You say, hey, that's not fair. Why is God doing that? Why? Well, we have to understand, first of all, that that is what they really down deep want. They don't want to believe. And God is just making sure that they don't believe. Why? Well, Jesus tells us why. He says in verse 41, Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. You see? He saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. What's that mean? What's he getting at? Well, remember the vision that he had of God in Isaiah 6. Here is God sitting upon his throne, smoke and fire around him, angels saying, holy, holy, holy. He saw who God really was. Only if you see who God really is and you see his glory can you indeed understand this passage. God is holy, God is pure, God is righteous. And because he is so holy and righteous, and because Jesus in his glory came to redeem men and to take away the curse and to restore them to a place of righteousness, only because of that can we then understand how God hardens hearts. It is because he is so pure and holy and just that he cannot abide these people who say under pressure, oh, I repent, I repent. You've been following Lance Armstrong's journey, have you, and listening to what he says about what he's been doing, huh? Now, there is a very confused man, if there ever was one. But you see, God doesn't want people just for external reasons or for whatever the reasons may be to say, I'm sorry now, when they weren't really sorry. Huh? There are a lot of people out there who, under pressure, will say, "I'm sorry." Husbands, do you ever do that to your wife, huh? You know she's mad at you and you're unhappy and say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, and what about when you get in a court of law? These guys that have murdered and chopped up people and they say, "Oh, I'm sorry." Well, God is not going to tolerate that. Not in his righteousness, not in his purity. God rather hardens their heart so they can't make that fake repentance. That's why God hardens their heart, because they don't really believe. Understandable? Yes. Very understandable in the light of the revelation of God's glory as we see it in Jesus Christ. Well, there are those that didn't believe, as we have seen. But what about these? There were some, many it says, among the leaders. You see, they really knew their Bibles. They knew what the Old Testament said. They knew the Messiah was supposed to come. But who believed in him, believed in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith, for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. You see what they're doing? They're more interested in man's glory than God's glory. That's what it says. Doxa is the word that in this translation is translated praise. Glory. Yes, they're more concerned about man's glory, the way they are considered in the light of men. They want the praise of men rather than the praise of God. So they believe, and yet they won't confess. How many churches are loaded with these kinds of people, huh? Are you one? You say, "I believe in Jesus." But then when you get out among people, "Well, let my life tell them I'm a Christian. I don't want to tell them. I don't want to upset the apple cart. I don't want to be thought of as a weirdo. So I go along with them and don't say anything when the subjects come up that are controversial, and they can see I'm a Christian, can they? What did Paul tell us? Paul tells us in Romans 10 verse 9, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." You must believe and confess. Oh, this was such a problem in the early church. Such a problem. It divided the church. Because before the Roman emperor, who considered himself God, even the piece of money that he put out had on there that he was the Son of God, they would go before him as because they've been accused of being a Christian, and they would pinch incense to him and put it on the fire. When on the one hand they believed, on the other hand they would not confess openly for fear of being persecuted. That's not something that's out of this world either today. Over in Korea, the emperor, Kim Sung, and now his son ruling, had written in their constitution that he was God, and that they were to assemble and bow before him as God. And you know the Christians say, "Oh, we're just honoring the government when we're doing this." We have a teacher over there who won't bow. And he's a radical. He's an outcast. Yeah. It's there today. You know, it's there in the USA today too. Now, we aren't being persecuted openly. We aren't a fringe group. But nevertheless, we are those who want the praise of men. And when it gets to the point that we want the praise of men more than the praise of God, and we believe but will not confess, then we're in trouble, brothers and sisters. We have so many of our family that are being persecuted, that are put in prison, that are tortured because they have confessed Jesus Christ. And we have to do the same. We have to wrestle with our sins and put them aside and openly live like a Christian and teach like a Christian and be a Christian as we believe and we confess. And then there's a third group. The third group. And that is the group that Jesus now talks about in verse 44. He cries out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me." In other words, when you truly believe and you live like one who is in the light as I am in the light, then you know not only me, but you know my Father. Yes. In order to know the Father, he has said, or will say actually, it's in chapter 14, you have to believe in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But if you come to the Father by him, you truly know the Father. And he says it in even more dramatic fashion when he says, when he sees me, he sees the one who sent me. You remember at the beginning of John in chapter 18, verse 1, it says that no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only Son who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So that when you truly believe in Jesus and truly know Jesus, you not only have seen Jesus, you have seen God the Father. You know God. You see what he's saying? What he's saying is that when you really believe in Jesus and confess Jesus Christ, you really are part of the family of God. You no longer in darkness, you now are in the light. You can see God. Now you know that he's a spirit and you know you can't see him that way, but you can see him. That is, you have that close relationship with him that no one can destroy. And all of his righteousness and all of his holiness is yours. Yours in Jesus when you believe. He goes on to say that he didn't come to judge the world. Not now. But he came to save the world. And that's why he has this way. However, he says, there is one thing that will condemn those who don't believe. And what is that? That is his words. His words. Those who have heard his words will be condemned and will be judged at the last day. Yes, that's part of what will happen because they have chosen to remain in darkness and will not come to the light. This is what the Father has said. He has told Jesus, he's commanded him what to say and how to say it, so that those words that Jesus spoke are the words of the living God. And it's them that we stand before, every one of us. If we believe those words, we will be saved. If we do not believe them, we will be condemned. You see, again, the oneness of the Father and the Son. And as Jesus says, if you believe, you are one with them, with the Son and with the Father. You see what is the result then? Light. You are in the light. You walk in the light. You have the characteristics of the light, of the purity and the holiness and the righteousness. You are light. Light in the midst of darkness. Well, do you think the darkness in this world is going to then accept you and like you? Of course not. Because if they are trying to hide something, if they are convicted in their own conscience, they are going to scatter like cockroaches in a bathroom when the light's turned on. Yes. They're not going to love you. The world can't love you. They're not going to respect you. Well, do you have the right mindset? Do you understand? Are you ready to be light in the midst of this world of darkness? Amen. Lord, you know how we want to be liked by the people. You know, like, that we like to hide our sins and we don't like to talk about them. We don't like to admit them. But Lord, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to desire to be light, to walk in the light, and to be with you forever and ever, as more important than the other things that we do now. Help us, Lord, to respond to the words of Jesus in positive ways and say, yes, Jesus, I believe, I will confess. Amen.